From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. For me, because I've been gone for the last couple of days, looks like chaos and division erupted at the Washington Republican Convention in Spokane. Spike was there. He said it was a good time.
I had peanuts and popcorn. They put down a big net people could fall into. It was awesome.
A man was killed after a stranger randomly stabs him in the neck outside of Muckleshoot Casino. It's really...
Inside. Inside at a gaming table.
Such a dark, unbelievably dark story, but I think that it speaks much more to the kind of culture that we live in the United States, and also we got that story about that Pierce County elementary school teacher. I'm more concerned with his family's response to this than anything else, but we're just going to have to tease that, because I want to start off. The Republican candidate for governor, Sammy Byrd, has won the endorsement of the GOP state convention. Sammy Byrd. See how far MAGA can get you in this life, Spike? You see how far being a MAGA guy
all the
can
way
get
to Spokane, and then the tracks stop.
Do you know how they say you get to Carnegie Hall?
Practice, practice, practice.
No, MAGA. That's how you get there. It's okay. All you got to do is just got to keep saying MAGA over and over and over again. Now I know that a lot of people get a little tense. Let us just say, anytime you and I level our criticisms against MAGA people. And I have to add this caveat every single time, which it gets very tiring, but I feel like we have to do it.
Sure.
Not all MAGA people, right? Nomp is the phrase that we use. Not all. Every time I'm critical of MAGA people or Trump voters, mm-hmm. it's almost like I have to say, not all women are like that. Not all men are like, you know, it's just it's something that, like, I used to have to do with my super progressive friends when we were talking about crime statistics or whatever. Okay. But now I have to do it with MAGA people, and it's super annoying. So obviously not all MAGA people are like this. But given what we saw unfold at the gubernatorial...
The Republican caucus in Spokane.
Apparently,
the convention.
This is just bad news bears, right, Spike? So what happened?
It's the excessively vocal minority of the Republican Party in Washington and the most activated. Mm-hmm. And I say that because the convention was populated by supporters of Sammy Byrd. But when you look at Washington Republicans across the state, Dave Reichert has out-fundraised Sammy Byrd 5-1.
Right.
Which leads me to the inevitable conclusion that only the most devout, engaged, enthusiastic Republicans in the state seem to be MAGA supporters. Because Sammy Byrd is running on a MAGA platform. He's very Trump. He's Trump intrinsic. I don't know what way to phrase that.
He's kind of Trump-lite. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Well, this is what a lot of politicians do, is they just kind of cut, copy, paste Trump's homework. And then they say, hey, everybody, look what I did.
Well, there's election denialism is a staple of it. Border security is a staple of it. Dave Reichert, you know, for all his faults, comes to this from a very pragmatic, what does our state need to do to be successful and inclusive of all its citizens? While Sammy Byrd says, I hope to represent all of Washington, regardless of race, creed, color, he didn't include election denialism in that. Because I think, you know, he didn't bring up that with people who believe that 2020 kind of was real.
Thought we could skip over the whole fascism thing. Maybe we could just ignore that. So on Friday, the Washington State Republican Party's convention in Spokane erupted with moments of booing, chanting obscenities, and people turning their backs on the party's own candidates. I thought there was going to be balloon animals. There was an individual who was there, Lorraine Blacklock. She said that civility has kind of disappeared even in our party, and that's kind of sad. And I think that has a lot to do with how reactive people have become around politics and how volatile they've become. It's like a cycle that we all contribute to.
Yeah.
Someone is mean. I am mean to them in return. I get praise from the people that, you know, there's this dark circle of just nastiness and boo you for not being a MAGA guy or whatever it is.
Well, mean is celebrated. So, you know, lack of civility is seen as strength. You know, there was a moment at the convention on Friday when it was discovered that Sammy Byrd had not disclosed a previous conviction on felony gun charges. Which they said disqualified him because he hadn't disclosed this to the Republican Party, disqualified him as a candidate.
Okay.
But the MAGA supporters did not care.
You're making me so nervous with that
this
coffee
big cup.
Cup
of coffee.
So
I'll move this.
Spike has his coffee cup about an eighth of an inch away from the edge of the studio table.
And from the launch button, too. So you'd have, you know, one Dr. Pepper and the...
Spike has very animated hands, and so I'm looking at that coffee cup, and it's like that scene in The Good Son, you know what I mean, with Macaulay Culkin and Elijah Wood, where the mom is holding on to both of them, and Macaulay Culkin's like, I love you, I love you, I love you, and then Elijah Wood's like, pull me up. That's basically what I'm saying.
That was my cup was about to do.
It's literally about to go over.
You know, that
happened
to me once with John Curley. He knocked over a coffee cup, and it started spitting out random ads and sounds.
Into the board.
And he ripped his shirt off with the, you know, the hand over the back and pulled it over your head.
I know. I know.
I've seen Magic Mike. I know how
John likes to show off his ads.
That was my first time ever producing for John, actually. So that was exciting.
So, we call that baptism of coffee.
Dave Riker, to his credit, just before we move on to the what happened at Muckleshoot, he says, in the last 24 hours, it's become clear that in the Washington State Republican Party, is in such a disarray that they're considering making no endorsement for governor. This after they continually changed the rules, broke rules, and twisted the process to accomplish their desired outcome. Goes on to say that he's still running. He's just not going to seek their endorsement because they are all insane people, which I think is probably, you know, it is a sad day for people who are Republicans who want to have a party of order and of discipline and of control. And you choose to go with the guy that just says MAGA the loudest. It's truly very sad.
It's not just our own state of Washington. I think it was Michigan that had two competing Republican chairs.
I'm more MAGA.
So they had like two different conventions in Michigan and two parties that refused to acknowledge.
Yeah.
The other one had been voted out by the legislature, yada, yada, yada. So it's a fractured party. And I don't know how you expect to win the general election.
Well,
that's in disarray.
You got to deprogram all the MAGA people. Most MAGA people, no offense, not all MAGA
not all
people.
MAGA people.
They have no idea what they're talking about. I'm sorry, they just don't. Like when I talk to MAGA people about Trump policies, they know the buzzwords, they know the bullet points, but when you actually get into the macro or micro economic data, they don't know. And it's not their fault. And I think it's better for the GOP if people are educated on the various and sundry, you know, the lies that Trump threw out there for so many years.
Well, Semmy Bird got the endorsement, but the top two-tier primary for the GOP is on August 6th.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it'll probably be Ferguson and Riker moving on to the general in November.
More than likely. A man was killed after a stranger randomly stabbed him in the neck inside the Muckleshoot Casino. It's a 29-year-old man was killed. Such a random event, right? This is so many bizarre things happened in Auburn this weekend. You know, you see the Kia Boys video.
I did see that. Sam showed me that.
Stabbing. You know, the details of this are so kind of lurid and so macabre and so dark. Yeah. My just read of this is someone had posted a video on Reddit of there were two guys and they were both walking into a 7-Eleven. And the guy behind guy number one accidentally gave guy number two a flat tire.
Oh, stepped on the back of his shoe.
Stepped on the back of his shoe. Yeah. The guy then turned around and punched the other guy directly in the face as if he did it intentionally. The other guy who just got punched in the face was trying to be apologetic and conciliatory. And then the guy who was flat tired then pulled out a gun and proceeded to shoot that man. This is where we are now, right? Where things escalate so fast that even a mistake can be considered to be grounds for I'm going to take your life. And that, I think, has a lot more to do with there's kind of an underpinning of I don't know what you want to call it in our culture, but this kind of darkness that we have yet to address as a society as a whole. We all know intrinsically that violence is wrong. Violence is bad. Spike. Murder is bad. Spike.
Okay.
The guy who was going to get on a plane to go kill somebody at one point in time in his life.
That was Parenthood. That's different. I didn't play the dad card on that one
right,
all day long.
But I'm just saying that we all know that it's intrinsically wrong. Like, Nicholas, if I asked you, hey, Nick, how do you feel about murder?
It's horrible.
See, look at that. That's why you have your job. There's not really a whole lot of debate in that sphere, but something comes out in these circumstances for people who may not even be, they're basically redlining is what I'm saying. They have no way to perspective take on their actions to the point where someone accidentally backs into you at a slot machine and you say, I'm going to stab you, right?
Well, this guy, so to your point about us not knowing how to handle just being mad, I think it's lack of socialization because we're also buried into our video games or our phones. We stop playing together, talking together, communicating.
Yeah.
So when we do have an interaction with somebody, we don't know what to do. And everything we see is violence. So let's just, and I'm never going to get punched in the face. I've got a gun. I'm never going to get punched in the face. I've got a gun.
We
take it to that level. Then at the Muckleshoot, this guy was standing at a table gaming. And there's, I mean, you got to understand, there's 1,000 cameras at a casino at all times.
Yeah.
They want some, looking for somebody with an eight up their sleeve, not a knife in their hand, right? So it's not like this guy was a... There are speculation that it was a gang affiliation or a gang initiation or some type of... Because apparently from the video surveillance, these guys had no contact prior to the stabbing in the neck. Somebody walked up behind a guy and stabbed him in the neck while he was at a gaming table.
Yeah.
So... And, you know, how did he get a knife through security? Yes, there are metal detectors at every entrance, but, you know, people get away with stuff these days.
Pocket knife, I would imagine.
Something.
I mean, it's just...
You know, you've always said that mental health is our crisis.
It is, yeah.
Above all else, mental health is. And if somebody's got a gang initiation or a beef with somebody, I mean, unless you're an absolute... I don't mean to be distracted, but if you're an absolute moron, you don't go through 10,000 cameras to get revenge on some guy.
Well, I told you about the time I was working security at a mall.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Laura, stop if I've ever told you this story before. Actually, don't stop me because it's radio. And if you
I'll cut you off. You're fired.
So I'm working security at the mall. We get a call that there's been a gang fight in front of the movie theater. It's a summer evening. Yeah. So, you know, sun's going down. We all go down there. The police are there. The second that we get there and the cops roll up simultaneously, there's like 15 dudes who have just finished jumping or in the process of finished jumping this one guy, right?
I have heard this story.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Thanks, Laura.
No, go on.
Thanks, Laura.
I've forgotten it because I've got old man brain. Go ahead.
So the one of the cops says to this kid who's literally just been beat up, "Are you affiliated?" And the kid pulls up his shirt to show that the belt he is wearing is a black belt, not a red or a blue or a green belt, indicating that he is not affiliated. And the cop said, "Why did they jump you?" And then he said, "Because I probably look like my cousin, and they thought I was my cousin." So
Whose cousin who is affiliated with a gang.
So, right. So me at the time, I'm 18. I'm so naive. I don't know, you know, what any of this means. So I talked to a guy that I work with who was training to be a police officer. And he told me that often what will happen is that that within that kind of gang like structure, there is no hesitation. So just the fact that he looks like his cousin means that he could be his cousin, mean that we have to act on this, regardless of the fact that we just bought tickets to go see Drumline or Knocked Up or whatever.
Right, right, right.
We're still going to try to take him down because that's just what the kind of thing that we do. So if they're saying that this is some kind of gang thing.
It's speculation.
If it's speculation, I wonder if there's just some kind of case of, you know, mistaken identity or something like that.
And you think if someone's trying to, if there's a gang relation element to this, they don't care about 1,000 cameras.
No.
They don't care about getting arrested and going to jail.
Right. Okay. So why are people, you know, lining up with, if this is true, why are people affiliating with gangs? I think it's because, you know, previously in life, people had other social connections, right?
Yeah. They had different, which are gone.
Like, Laura, I'm trying to think of the circumstances in which you would join a gang. And I think that if you grew up in an impoverished area where emphasis was not put on education, where emphasis really wasn't, like, mom or dad wasn't around very much, maybe they're working two or three jobs just to support you. There's not really a whole lot of after school programs. What are you gonna do? You're gonna go get affirmation from somebody, and it's gonna be the older kids in your neighborhood who want to, you know, buy you clothes and hang out with you and have a good time, and then also give you beer or whatever it is, or help you smoke weed with them.
Or protection from getting picked on or beat up.
And then all of a sudden you're part of a crew and you're getting protection, right, Laura? Does that sound like a good recipe to make you a gang member?
You've described the opposite of my childhood.
thank
so many extracurriculars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, speaking of, not a good upbringing doesn't always mean a healthy individual. Pierce County Elementary School teacher and pastor was charged with 9 counts of child molestation. Jordan Henderson, he's 34 years old. He's my age. Can you believe this? He's clearly very mentally ill, if this is indeed true. He was arrested at his Gig Harbor home on Thursday by Pierce County Sheriff's Department deputies. He's booked in the county jail. Said that 5 Evergreen Elementary School students, all girls, came forward and told officials the assaults happened at school during school hours. And this is just a sad story all around. But the statement from the family was the one that really, really, really weirded me out here, Laura. Spike, do we have the statement from the family? I thought we pulled it up.
Yeah. Let me make sure I got it right here. Because what we're talking about from his father.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Okay. While some would have you focus on alarm bells and your greatest fears about what you do not know, I want to encourage you to, with confidence, based on what I do know. Wellspring Fellowship wrote on faith. I know Jordan to be one of the highest.
Where did they write it, Spike? I didn't catch that.
I'm sorry. Wellspring Fellowship wrote on their Facebook page.
I see. Okay.
Okay. And this is from Pastor Chris Henderson. This was who signed this. I know Jordan to be of the highest character and quality as a man. He's a great husband, a great father, a great teacher. He and his family have the full confidence and support of our church. Please join us in asking God to reveal the full and complete truth regarding these allegations.
Seems a bit premature, I would say, because he's basically saying this is all false.
Yeah, I mean,
that might be the case, but that's basically what Wellspring Fellowship is saying on their Facebook page.
Yeah.
What they are basically saying is that the truth is that these allegations are indeed false.
Well,
right?
I hope God does reveal the full and complete truth.
That's my hope as well. And, you know, I think that, you know, all too often we, you know, this just makes me think of everybody was so freaking out about drag shows, right?
Right.
Drag time story hour. Perverts, right, is what they said over and over and over again. If you actually look at the statistics from the American Academy of Pediatrics, your child is 10 times more likely to be abused sexually, physically, verbally at a school than they are almost anywhere else.
Yeah.
And so, like, there was all this focus and attention that was being placed on Drag Queen Story Hour, and everybody was so up in arms about it because it was this great cultural kind of upheaval. But then this just kind of confirms my own research, which is that look at the things that we overlook when we're focused on the dude in the dress and saying that he can't read in front of kids. We often will miss the person who is amongst us, the wolf in sheep's clothing, the allegedly.
Teacher, the teacher, the pastor, the scout leader.
Right, exactly.
Right, the target-rich environment. There are five kids have come forward. There's stories that the kids were circling to protect each other.
Right.
Saying, hey, wait, don't be alone with this guy. I mean, these are 10 and 12-year-old kids who are self-protecting from this guy. So the truth will come out.
Columbia cancels in-person classes as demonstrators sprout on U.S. campuses to protest Israel's war. And Biden denounces anti-Semitism on the campuses among these protests. They actually look more like riots than protests, I'll be honest with you.
It's getting a little out of hand.
Getting pretty out of hand. But we'll talk about that more when we get back right after this.
Internet can be a dark and often dangerous place. Only one man has the courage to go where no sensible person would go. Jack Stein is Terminally Online.
Terminally Online. Exploring the deepest, darkest reaches of the internet so you don't have to. Before we get to these protests that are going on at Columbia and Yale, I wanted to touch on this Washington State syringe services study that Mr. Granillo just talked about. It involved 1,667 persons who were spoken to who have some form of drug addiction. So a pretty wide survey base. If it had been under, I would say, 300 or 400, that's not a really good data set.
Okay.
So this is a pretty good data set. It says the majority of these persons said they had used meth at least once in the previous week. So that's 89%. 51% said that they'd used fentanyl at least once every 5 days, or as I like to call it, a Tuesday. I said a Tuesday because I used to do a lot of drugs.
I laugh so I don't cry.
I said a Tuesday.
Fair enough.
There you go. The majority of the study respondents were white males. The study had persons between 18 and 79 years old. So the median age would be 41 years old.
Wow.
Crazy, right? Men made up 63% of users and women made up 34%. 72% of the users were white, 12% black, 11% Native American, 10% Hispanic. That is really, really interesting data. And it also looks like, you know, there was a tie between meth and fentanyl, both at 39% as being the most used drugs. Heroin was at 7%, probably because you can't find it anymore. You know what I mean? It's kind of like when the Hostess stops making the holiday versions of their snacks. Just kind of fades out. Spike,
just
it's
like,
okay to laugh at jokes.
Like I know. It's
okay to laugh at jokes. I used to do drugs. I mean, it's okay to make light
of
these things.
Equating heroin to Twinkies, I just worry about it sometimes.
Why? It's basically the same thing. I mean, it's...
You know, they're killing you at the same rate.
Yeah, exactly. So, but only 20% had what they would consider to be permanent housing or a structure they could reliably utilize for shelter. So, what does this tell us about, you know, the region and the kind of people that are using syringes and all that other kind of stuff? I mean, they could have skipped all this, and I could have probably given them this data when it comes to fentanyl. Almost nobody injects fentanyl because you don't know what the strength of that is, and so you will die. And that's the reason why the majority of users freebase is because you are getting a better high from freebasing fentanyl than from injecting heroin.
And safer? Because, you know, when you inject what you don't know, it's no way to stop, right? right? I mean,
heavy quotations on the safer there.
Well,
but, you know,
if you're smoking, you almost immediately know you've gone too far, as opposed to pushing something in your arm and it's too late.
I mean,
ship has left at that point.
If you're ODing either way, you'll be Narcaned. Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of the way that the question is how do you solve something like this?
Right.
Like, what do you do with the drug problem? There's a lot of racists out there that say it's a border issue, but it's really not.
That's what I got from those numbers.
Ain't. It's not really a border issue. There's a lot of other people out there who say that it's a China problem. It's not really a China problem. Because if you take away, let's say that you were somehow able to miraculously stop drugs from coming across the border at the United States, mm-hmm. Legal points of entry, by the way.
Right.
And stop them coming in through the port of Tacoma. Are all of a sudden the drug addict going to be like, dang it, I can't get my drugs. I guess I'll go get clean now. Gee whiz. No, they're going
to find something else.
They're going to find something else. And so for people who say, well, what's your evidence for that? If you go back and you look at the height of the prescription pill epidemic in the United States, talking about 2012, 2013, 2014.
Okay. Talk about the opioid crisis, right?
Opioid crisis. So you have all these people who were getting OxyContin prescriptions, oxymorphone prescriptions. They were getting Percocet prescriptions, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden their doctors cut them off after the Obama 2012 federal regulation on opiates. They didn't just say, gosh darn it, Obama, where am I going to get my OxyContin now? They switched to heroin, and then the heroin market went up.
Right.
And you can see rates of heroin use just skyrocket right after that 2012-2013 legislation went through. So no matter what you do with this, it's a people problem. It's not a drug problem. Everybody who focuses on anything other than the people problem of this has no idea what they're talking about.
They're chasing a bump in the rug. You push it down here, it pops up over there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, the Biden administration has just initiated sanctions against companies in China who produce the chemicals that eventually become fentanyl. You have to start and try to, you know, slow down the flow. But to your point, if you don't help the people that are using, first and foremost, they're going to find another way to avoid reality.
They're just going to do it, right?
Yep.
So Columbia cancels in-person classes as demonstrations sprout on U.S. campuses to protest Israel war. This is a Columbia, Yale, and a couple other universities. The footage that I've seen looks more like riots. It looks a little bit unruly in my assessment.
Well, to the point where the arrests were made this morning. It was at MIT. Dozens were arrested.
38. Yeah.
It's coast to coast. It's Minnesota. It's MIT. It's Yale. It's California. It's everywhere.
Well, so the reason that people, I don't think a lot of people bother to look into why is it that so many college campuses are so anti-Israel and why leftists tend to be so anti-Israel. You could say that it's anti-Semitism. Sure. That's just like a piece of it. But the other piece of it is that if you look at the kind of the ethos of leftist thought, they really hate state oppression in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
And so what they view Israel as being is kind of like capitalist state oppression or like Western state oppression against the Palestinian people. So they use the Palestinian people as kind of like an avatar or an extension of their own hatred of the state.
I can see that.
So they would prefer, in many ways, for us to live in this kind of like anarcho-communist world where we're all just going around and saying, comrade, how do we solve our food problem? Right. They would prefer it to be this very egalitarian style of politics. What they see in Israel, it's not so much about Jews, although that's a part of it. The real part of it is that they view it as a direct example of capitalist oppression or state oppression against marginalized people, and that's why they hate Israel so much.
So I noticed there weren't these protests prior to October 7th, right?
They were much smaller and not as important.
That's where I was going with this. Was this sentiment already underlying and this overreaction by a global assessment of Israel against the attack? Is that triggered all of these incredible, growing demonstrations?
Yeah,
coast to coast?
That and also the way that they talk about it is they talk about that this is a genocide is the phrasing that they use.
And the
way that they frame it is basically like this: is that if you oppress that group of people enough, meaning that if you use drone attacks against civilians, you have random bombing attacks against civilians, whatever.
You cut off relief,
that you will cut the population down to such a size where it's no longer sustainable.
Right.
And so thus they call it a genocide. And that's why you see all this really heightened language around it and people fighting and protesting. They view what's happening to the Palestinians in many ways as they view what is happening to Americans. that this oppressive capitalist matrix is just crushing down on them and they can't escape.
Let me ask this real quick. I know we're close on time. There's been incredible protests in Israel this weekend against the Netanyahu government, calling for elections and a change in course. If that happens and they get rid of the Netanyahu government, does the underlying issue of how Gaza and the Palestinians have been treated for decades, is that just lay low again?
No, it's probably gets completely readdressed. I mean, because Netanyahu has a very particular style that he likes to approach with the Palestinian people. And my assumption would be, Laura's rolling her eyes at me. Laura, what did I say?
I'm not rolling my eyes at you at all.
What did I say that was so offensive to my leftist producer? My leftist producer, Laura. What did I say, Laura?
Why do you project onto me, Jack?
Because you were rolling your eyes in the studio. It makes me self-conscious. I know that you're an infiltrator. I know that you're a socialist and a leftist. I won't have it. Nicholas, fire Laura.
To the plank.
Oh, my.
Ouch.
So there's a guy who's not supposed to be driving, who is driving. And I saw him driving on Wednesday, directly outside of my apartment.
You're kidding me.
I saw it happen unfold before my eyes. And it was so fast that I couldn't even capture it on my phone.
Wow.
That's how fast it was. I think people know who I'm talking about. But I want to tell this story when we get back right after this. Demon Days is probably one of the best Gorilla records. It was so good.
I love the Gorillas, baby.
I mean, yeah, this record in particular, Demon Days. Laura, you're not a fan, are you? You're fired.
I am a fan. I love this song.
I was going to go see them on tour when they came into town, but they had to postpone it for personal reasons.
I think that a really overlooked record is the Plastic Beach.
Oh, yeah, with Snoop Dogg on there,
it's
too.
So overlooked. Like the song Superfast.
There's Rhinestone Eyes on there.
Yeah. Such a good record. All right, speaking of music that you can listen to while driving your car at illegal speeds, we all know about the Hellcat driver.
He's off the streets, right? Yeah.
That young man. Well, he's allegedly off the streets because, hand to God, I believe that I saw the Hellcat driver on Wednesday. Wednesday evening. Now, if you're not familiar with the story, Miles Hudson is a gentleman who has been driving around Belltown, pretty much South Lake Union, anywhere at Queen Anne, you know what I mean? East Lake, pretty much anywhere in that general vicinity, sometimes on the I-5 or whatever it might be.
The concrete jungle canyons of our downtown corridor in lower central Seattle there.
So, and he's been posting that to Instagram for Instagram fame. And he is driving a Dodge Charger that is souped up to such a degree that it is a very expensive car. I think it's like a $120,000 car.
Yeah, and it comes off the showroom floor at almost 6 inches, and he's modified it to make it even more annoying.
So Wednesday night, I'm in my apartment. I'm stretching, doing the thing that I do to kind of bring my neuroses down about 1,000 notches. I have to stretch for about an hour before I go to sleep, right?
Okay.
So all of a sudden, I hear this grumbling in the far distance, and I think like a loud engine in the far distance, and it is going fast and it's coming in my general direction. So I have floor to ceiling windows because, as you guys know, I like to live a very expensive lifestyle. So I go to my floor to ceiling windows and I see it before I hear it, and I see what I believe to be that Dodge Charger go right in front of my I don't want to overestimate, probably going in the neighborhood of 110, 120 miles an hour. I mean, just flying through the East Lake Avenue, past the Fred Hutch campus.
What time?
10:30, 10:20, 10:30 at night. And then I see the cops who are behind said driver, who are about, 200 or 300 yards behind said driver.
Lit up? Lights on?
Lit up. Yeah, there's three of them. Yeah. And they're ready to go. And they are. And I'm thinking, so this guy's obviously going to get, pulled over.
Sure.
Second guy hits that straightaway that's right in front of the Silver Cloud Inn, all that kind
of.
Yeah.
Along Lake Union.
He flies. And then I notice the cops break off, kill the lights, stop chasing the guy.
So you're saying the Hellcat driver hits that straightaway along the side of the lake there and just guns
it? He guns it. Oh. And it was so fast that I thought I should take out my phone and film this because I work in media and this would be great content to catch a criminal in the act of. So fast, I did not have the time to open camera on my phone.
Right. We're talking seconds.
And hit record. That's how fast he was driving. But what was disappointing to me is to see the cops break off. I understand that there are policies in place for that. Yeah. I understand that there are reasons why they do that.
Yeah, there's public safety, genuine public safety concerns about pursuing that guy at that point.
But to me, it's just kind of, it's the feeling of, it just feels very deflating, if I can put it that. I'm not trying to come down on SPD. I'm not trying to come down on the fine men and women who serve our community. It's a very disappointing feeling to see somebody who is clearly, I mean, he's driving so fast he could kill somebody. If there's somebody who's crossing the road right there,
absolutely.
I mean, that's easily, you're going too fast to stop.
Sure.
And the decision is just made, well, I guess we'll just break off and we'll get them Duke boys next time. Am I right or am I right?
Well, the more powerful weapon in the arsenal of the SPD at that point isn't the 427 Interceptor under the hood of the cop car. It's the radio in his hand that can call ahead to South Lake Union, to the Google town down there, and the little Amazonia.
Yeah.
And say, hey, set up a roadblock. He's coming at you.
Well,
because when the cops peel off a pursuit like that, hopefully the driver of the Hellcat, I'm assuming, I think you're probably right on this, because the guy clearly hadn't stopped.
Yeah.
He sees that they're not behind him. He takes his foot off the gas. Maybe he drops from 110 to 90 to 80 to 70.
Yeah, well, my guess
was, and maybe a life is saved.
My guess is that he was going to blow through those three or four stop light intersections. Just
because right in South Lake Union,
yeah, he was going to blow through all those and then get right on I-5 and try to outrun him on I-5 south. That was my guess. Because he was going so fast.
Wow.
It was kind of like, it was a very Dom Toretto moment. It was very fast and furious.
Okay,
I live my life 1/4 mile at a time.
He was fast and you were furious because it was 10:30.
Except for it wasn't cool and I wasn't 10. You know what I mean?
So this is not a closed movie set. You know, my little brother was in Florida 3 years ago and pulled out of a fast food restaurant onto a major arterial. And a guy doing 110 mile an hour broadside of my brother's car.
Yeah.
My brother was unharmed. The kid on the motorcycle died on the scene.
Yeah.
But my brother's been scarred for life having that happen to him. And this kid's, the Hellcat's flying down the side of Lake Union at 100 plus. But imagine somebody pulls out from one of the hotels, from one of the restaurants.
Or one of the homeless people.
Or somebody steps into the street.
That was my thought about it, my friend. Hopefully, I'm very hopeful that the judicial system will try to correct this if it indeed was said Hellcat.
He's been ordered not to drive as per earlier this month, right? It was the 10th of April. He was like, do not drive that vehicle. And he was complaining, well, I won't be able to get to work. We'll find another way to work, find another vehicle, find a bus that doesn't backfire. And
right. How King County's $500 a month guaranteed income project worked, or did it not work? I'm sure there's a lot of naysayers about this, but data doesn't lie, so we shall go over said data. With homelessness on the rise, the Supreme Court will weigh bans on sleeping outdoors. This will probably be a disaster for a number of reasons. I'm not saying that people should be able to sleep outside. I'm just saying, think about the implications for the taxpayer and what this means when you start putting people in jail. Unpaid rent and low-income housing has skyrocketed. Evictions may be next. It's a crazy local story about the amount of people who just can't pay.
Yeah.
Too expensive. Talk about that when we get back right after this.